always, and that we just reminds us of people to pray for. The thumb is to pray and thank God for those closest to you, your family, and our pointer finger for those who point you in the right direction. Then the tallest one to pray for our government and leadership. Our ring finger for those that are weak, in trouble or in pain. And our little pinky, our prayers for ourselves. So there's this here to remind you. And if you'd like to do this, there's some texters and pencils here. And some cardboard on which you can trace your hand. And you can write your own prayers on your own hand to take with you. So that's for any children who'd like to come and grab that. Please do, as we hand over to Trevor.
Thank you this morning for reminding us of how our telephone system works these days and how it used to work more directly. We are people of prayer, and God has called us to share in prayer, and I'm going to be speaking mainly about that in the message this morning. Let's begin then with a word of prayer. Let us pray. A living God who speaks to our hearts through the ministry of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask again today that, Lord, you would do this as the living God. There are some things on our hearts we need resolution for. We are longing for this or that to be different. We need some guidance here or there, and we're seeking to know your will. Lord, there are various things that come to our need as a church and as a community and as a nation. And Lord, in this season of coronavirus, COVID-19, we join together with all the world and pray that there might be a solution in the minds and hearts and discoveries of those searching for an outcome and a result. So we pray, Lord, in your mercy for the nations of the world, hear our prayer for this matter. But today, Lord, as we come to the scriptures, may we hear your voice, sense and know that it is you speaking to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you read that passage of James, one of the little things that stands out is Elijah, being a human being like us, who prays fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. You know, if you even just ponder that little question, why would you pray? You certainly wouldn't dare pray that in the Clare region at all, that it might not rain. It tells us, it points us to the fact that not only is Elijah wanting rain, and I'm sure wanted crops and things to grow the same as everybody else, but he's realising in that time, in that frame of his life, that God is about something, and in withholding rain, a certain thing happens to people, and withholding, say at the moment, our freedom and capacity to move across the face of the earth, something profound is happening within the global community. We are being pressed to value certain things more, like we've mentioned, Grant mentioned our bodily presence with one another. We are realising how significant that is. And so there are other things that we should listen for and take notice of, because the Lord is, in this time, he is speaking to the nations of the world and drawing our attention. And look, the main thing, if I can just pick up there for Elijah, but for all prayers really, is that we should be in step with, involved with the plan of God. God has a plan. He has a plan for the whole of the creation. He's moving that plan towards its goal, and it's as practical as day and night is to us, as we are as birds and trees and everything. God is the practical God who has it's not an airy-fairy plan that ends in the ether somewhere. It is a distinct and definite plan, and it's linked with his foreknowledge for the human race that we should attain to glory, but that's not even the end of the story. It's the eternalisation of the human community and our ongoing relationship, eternal life with God, with the living Christ, Jesus, a man like us, but who's overcome death, and so that we should see him face to face and be involved in the next phase, just as we mentioned this morning, moving from one house to another. We will move from this place, we will move to the age to come, and God will bring about that just as he initiated the creation to begin with. He will bring about the age to come. So we find this little verse in James that is putting some perspective in it for patience. And the first section of this, James 5 verse 7 says, "Be patient therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord." And so then he gives the illustration, the farmers wait for the precious crop from the earth. So be patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, you know, the coming of the Lord in, a Churches of Christ congregation, they used to preach that every Sunday night. It was the theme. So that people didn't just live their lives floating, drifting or whatever. They knew there was a goal, and they knew that that important goal, the early church, had that expectation. And you can say, well, it didn't come about. Well, it didn't come about yet. But it is still, the Lord's coming appearing is still on the doorstep. And we are being reminded of that. We're being called to that. The world community is being asked, do you want to be part of the age to come? Then you'll need to be a person of faith. You'll need to be prepared for that now. Put to death that which is evil and embrace that which is good, which is God's good giving. James says every perfect gift's come down from above. Jesus Christ come down from above to bless the world and for us to put our faith in him, to trust in him and to begin a relationship now with the living God so that in the age to come we're ready, we're prepared to be part of that and we're not part of the world of sin and death and evil that has no future. Evil, whatever conspiracies are about, all the conspiracy theories and the true ones and the false ones, they have no ultimate outcome. They don't accomplish anything satisfactory. So to be in the will of God is to be in the real thing, and the real thing has a real outcome, and that is why, that is all of our prayer really, is to be involved in what God is doing. So, you know, to want to extend our lives and pray for healing or for renewed refreshment in our bodies is so that we can, in this age, continue to be more fruitful. It's not just to hang on for a few more years. It's so that we might participate and be fruitful in the great thing that Jesus Christ is doing. The great plan of God has to do with absolutely everything. That's why we're not just kind of people with spiritual heads. We are people who are engaged in this world in real and practical ways. That's why land and sea and air and all that we're involved with, all living creatures, it all matters. And so do our vocations, because they're part of what God is doing in Jesus Christ. His filling out his plan, and that's where our prayer is going. That's why we're patient, because well, the living Lord may not come and appear in your lifetime, but nevertheless patiently press on, expecting and hoping and praying and trusting that that'll be so. The coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another. You won't be grumbling in the age to come. The telephone service will work perfectly well. There'll be enough operators, you'll be able to get direct straight through. As an example of, this patience that's there, don't grumble. See, the judge is standing at the doors. God will sort that out. As an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And the prophets copped it because they kept saying, you know, the relationship with the Lord's the thing that counts. Keep coming back to that. And people had other agendas, but they were corrective in bringing people back to the true agenda. Israel was to be one light, one nation, a light to all the other nations. They were to point the way forward. And they messed around and mucked around and did a heap of other things they ought not have done. But they nevertheless brought the Messiah into being. Christ Jesus was born. So to that end, their purpose was fully achieved. He came. As an example, we take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who show endurance. Are you an enduring person? Are you bearing up okay? It's a gift. It's the strength. It's part of the gift God gives you. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, Job's ministry, in one way, was to sort of be the exemplar of the most miserably hard-done person in the world. He was a fine person of faith, and the Lord chose him to undergo a horrendous suffering that we might be encouraged by Job. Job had to listen to all his friends who gave him some pretty terrible advice, you know. They got their theology and they put it all together and they gave him the best understanding of his life. It's just that it was wrong, you know. The best thing they ever did was sat down with him in his misery on the ground and said nothing. That's what they did for a week. But Job, we see, saw God's purpose in the creation when God showed him all that he was about, this great plan, and all the creatures and the snow and the mist and the rain and the goats and everything that God was doing in his creation. Job was okay then. He was quieted. Okay, I've spoken when I didn't really get it. I've mumbled and grumbled and I get, Lord, that you're about something bigger than just everything going well for me. And we see Job's fortunes restored at the close of the book. God's blessing, you know, flows again afresh into Job's life. So we're to trust that. That's the example we have. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Do you believe that? He's compassionate and merciful. And do you believe he's that way towards the human race generally? So you can be that way. You can be filled with the same Spirit of God and live that way towards others. Above all, my beloved, don't swear. Oh, that was very good. By heaven and earth, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. The last question now is to this matter of prayer. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Any of you sick? They should call the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And then, so the elders have a function, they have a task, they have a role to help lead the people of God to get the hang of Christian faith. And so they're empowered from one point of view, we can all pray, you don't have to be an elder to pray. But here James is saying, no, get the elders, they will lead the church in this matter. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Faith is a wonderful thing when you exercise it on behalf of someone else. There was an occasion when Jesus watched some friends. Their friend was paralysed. He couldn't get off his mat, and they wanted him to get fixed. So they thought, this Lord is doing amazing things. They couldn't get close enough to Jesus, so they dug a hole in the thatched roof, and they lowered him down right in the middle of where all the crowd had gathered. They thought, we're going to get this guy up to the front, and they dropped him down low. Well, when Jesus, you can see there's a man not well here, when Jesus saw their faith, he was moved to engage everybody in what they were doing. They were pointing to Jesus Christ's power. They had faith. They were involved in the plan. And so he, you know, says to this man, you know, well, he says to the crowd, actually, what's the easiest thing to do? Forgive his sins or say to him, get up and walk. And only God, of course, can forgive sins. So he says, well, so that you know that his sins are forgiven, as an illustration that they're forgiven, get up and walk. And the man gets up and takes his mat and he goes home. And everyone's staggered because here is God giving us a snippet and an insight, not only of the age to come, but what Jesus is doing right now with the human race. He is for us. He is for those four. He is for this man. He is for the human race who are watching on. He is drawing us into a relationship once again with the living God, which we've lost. And the sad fact is that right across the world, whole nations have lost faith in the very Creator who's made them. It's his privilege, it's his plan to call nations, every tribe and tongue and nation, to return, to be forgiven, to come home, and then to, in that, be involved in his plan. So praying is really important. And for the elders to be able to demonstrate that and see that, what did they pray in? Just the name of the Lord. That was it. And they anointed him with some oil. Oil was commonly used. We sometimes use oil. We can do that as well, as sort of a sacramental way of saying and pointing and saying something great is happening here. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Paul mentions the prayer of faith. He says a lot of gifts have been given to the Christian community. Some people can discern things that's going on. Others are given the gift of speaking. Others are given the gift of faith. Just faith, a kind of a double dose, as it were, to say, no, I believe in that. Let's pray for that. And so people do join and see that happen. And to pray with faith, it'll save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. I remember a man from, I think it was Fuller Seminary. He went to Africa and he went over to teach them and talk to them about some aspects of, you know, what the Lord does through healing and demonic powers and various things. And he wondered what he was doing there as a lecturer, because he said they talked about more things that had happened in their church last Sunday than he'd heard of in his life. And he was there to listen. Because they didn't have the medical skills, they actually went and called upon the Lord's name and relied, as it were, more directly. God's still given the gifts of medicine. He's given us doctors, and African people are deeply appreciative of that, but some just have not got them. So they just got to go directly to the Lord, and they've seen his hands upon various things. An example of praying I'd just like to give a couple in a moment, but the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And there's something that takes place. Pray, see what happens. Something will happen. The nation, I just like to mention this, it's just because I'm going to read a little quote in a moment. A number of years ago, our daughter was working in South Korea for a year. We went and visited her, and while we were there, we went to a Pentecostal church right in the middle of Seoul. It was a big Pentecostal church. In fact, it was the biggest church in the world. So we went along, 480,000 members. 480,000 members. How would they be doing on social distancing at the moment? 480,000 members. But, you know, that was that church began in 1958. If you track back to, say, 1900, 1890, that's when the gospel first came up a little river and people started to hand some Bibles out. So in 58 years, and some of you are older than that, well, quite a lot of you are older than that. Quite a lot of us are older than that. But in those 58 years, then the gospel had been moving, and this man, the gospel came to him, Paul Yonggi Cho was his name, and he prayed. He said he used to pray 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day. And so this church grew, and South Korea became a nation that knows Jesus Christ, knows the plan of God, and now sends out. I think they send more missionaries out than most other nations do. So, and they hold at bay, I think, a war with their brothers and sisters in North Korea, because they go up in busloads and they pray at the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone, Every day there's busloads of people there praying for peace and reconciliation. Well, they're patient. They're still praying. They've got a train line ready to go the moment that good leader arrives in North Korea and says yes. And they'll reconnect that train line, and they're looking to pray for reconciliation. But, you know, this has all come about because they've wanted to be involved in the plan of God and have prayed. This is Paul Yonggi Cho's, just his little quote here. I'm going to read just a bit of it. When I pioneered a church in 1958, I used to pray about 5 hours a day. So, you know, the Lord heard his prayers, and so while I was there, I thought, well, I need a 480,000 church in Clare, so just a little book on how to pray. No, so that's his ministry. We all have a different, you know, different ministry, but to just think about the importance of spending some time in prayer. Prayer, says P.T. Forsyth, brings with it, as food does, a new sense of power and health. So to pray, you kind of reconnect with what God has created you for. God directs your prayers. It's by the Spirit. Forsyth said it's the highest use to which speech can be put. And so using words to communicate to one another, but to wrestle, what should I say to the living God who kind of already knows what I'm going to say, what things. And so he draws that out of us. One of the loveliest matters that has helped me, and I'll kind of conclude in this point, but another chap called O. Hallesby, a Norwegian, I think he is, Olav, he commends us in our helplessness, really. He says, be not anxious because of your helplessness. Above all, do not let it prevent you from praying. Helplessness is the real secret and the impelling power of prayer. You should therefore rather try to thank God for the feeling of helplessness which he's given you. It's one of the greatest gifts which God can impart to us. For it is only when we're helpless that we open our hearts to Jesus and let him help us in our distress according to his grace and mercy. And something similar, some of you may have read Joni Erickson Tata. She said, heartache forces us to embrace out of desperate, urgent need and find that God is never closer when our heart is aching. Your heart may be aching over a number of things or one thing in particular. The Lord is open to your prayer and is really kind to you. I don't know how to emphasise that, but he is really, really kind towards you. Paul he told us this. He said, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. We're not super clever. We're not sort of accomplished, sophisticated Christians. We're human beings, redeemed by Christ. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And so whatever you string together thoughtfully, in it you may in the end just say, oh Lord, oh Father, I'm a son and daughter, please help me. Little song I'll just, and the same point I'll close with, James Torrance told a story about a man he met on the beach. He'd been a Presbyterian for years, but had stopped going to church. He didn't go anymore. His wife was ill, and he said, I've been walking up the beach trying to figure out how to pray. And James said to him, he said, did you know that the Lord is praying for you? He said, no, I forgot that. He said, well, he is, and he told him the story. He said, well, he's praying also for your wife. And he knows your life and is interested. He said, I don't know what to pray. Could you come and pray with me at the hospital with my wife? So he went. They talked about these things, and both of them just came home in faith to God at a really important time in their life. He wrote these little words in one of his hymn that he wrote while he was in Australia, actually. He says, I know not how to pray, O Lord, so weak and frail am I. Lord Jesus, to your outstretched arms, in love I daily fly, for you have prayed for me. Jesus Christ has prayed for you. He wants you to be blessed and to be part of the Father's plan, to be filled with his Spirit and involved in his great enterprise. May your faith, just as tiny as a mustard seed even, just rise up and receive and believe that, and you'll find yourself inside the prayer circle and not outside. You're in. God's included you. He's hearing your prayers. Shall we pray today? Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for prayers answered for our health and for our financial or needs situation. And thank you for prayers answered for matters of love, matters of the heart, matters of sadness and grief, matters of reconciliation and renewed love and joy. Dear Lord, thank you for praying for us, and may we today, Lord, see you answer our prayer. We just pause now to say, Lord, it's that thing we're asking about. In faith, Lord, hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And just to let you know that if you think a matter's not suitable for prayer, I once prayed for my dairy cows, and the Lord answered the prayer, an urgent prayer it was for them. So he's even interested in the lot of dairy farmers and cows. And so he's interested in your particular lot as well. May the Lord's will be done, and may we prevail and persist and be people, ongoing people of prayer.